So we're going to start from the bottom line on Kuf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the last line. This is just kind of the end of a longer Gemara. We're not going to do the whole thing because it would take us all the way to the top of the Amud. So we'll just do the last couple of points before we move on to the Mishnah. The Gemara was having a whole discussion regarding Nebuchadnezzar and quoting various psukim from Tanakh about him. So we'll just mention a couple of points here from the Gemara. So on the last line on Kuf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara cites a pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, "Eich shavas noges shavisa madheva," which basically translates into, "Look how the taskmasters have ceased. You know how they no longer exist." So, what is that pasuk referring to? So, says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav shav sauma zo shamra medor vahave," that the nation that has said medor vahave, meaning go and gather your gold and silver, in other words, the nation of Bavel, of Babylonia, they have ceased to exist. V'ika da amre sha'amra ma'od ma'od have below midah. Or alternatively, the lashon of the pasuk is implying that the Babylonian nation were a type of people who would tell the Jews to bring them endless amounts of money, of gold and silver, without measure. The point is, again, as the Gemara is emphasizing, that this nation, the nation of Bavel, eventually has ceased to exist. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Daniel, "V'rabu yisera hosfasli," which basically is referring again, it's describing Nebuchadnezzar as being so much greater and so much more significant than everybody else. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Baraba, "Malamed sherochav al ari zachar, v'kashar tanin berosho, l'kayim ha-shenemar, v'gam es chayas ha-sadeh nasati lo la'avdo." The Gemara says that you see Nebuchadnezzar's dominance that he had over animals and over the rest of the world, because he used to ride on top of a male lion and he used to tie a snake around his head. And the symbolism, the significance of that, the Gemara says, is to fulfill the pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says that he's going to have control over all of the animals. So again, this Gemara was kind of the conclusion of the previous section discussing Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so moving on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah now says, "Lo yiskor adam po'alim b'shabbos." So first of all, a person is not permitted to hire workers on Shabbos. Obviously, we're not even talking about, you know, paying them. We're talking about just, you know, asking somebody to come work for you. As we'll see, this is going to run into a whole issue of amira la'akum, again, you know, depending on the scenario. "V'lo yomar adam lachaviru liskor lo polim." You're also not allowed to tell someone else to hire workers for you on Shabbos. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss this in more detail. And the Mishnah says, "In machshichen al hatchum liskor lo polim ulahavi peros." You're also not allowed to what's called machshichen al hatchum. Machshichen al hatchum means that you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum Shabbos right before Shabbos ends, so that this way the second Shabbos ends, you can run past the Tchum and go get your workers, go get your fruit. You're not allowed to do that. You can't wait there for Shabbos to end to go and hire workers or to go get your food. However, what you are allowed to do is, let's say you have some kind of a garden, an orchard, right beyond the Tchum, and you want to make sure that no one's stealing things from your orchard. So you are allowed to stand at the edge of the Tchum right before Shabbos ends to guard the orchard, and then once you're already there guarding, so then when Shabbos is over, you can walk past the Tchum and, you know, go pick the fruit that you want to take and then bring it back. And then the Mishnah says, "Klal Omar Abba Shaul."
Are you allowed to guard your field on Shabbos?
Yeah, you can guard your field on Shabbos. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're saying here. In other words, that, you know, the guy, if
it's basically
a din derabanan, because if you stand there right as Shabbos is about to end, it's gonna look like you're waiting. You know people who kind of like look at the clock for Tisha B'Av, for Yom Kippur to end. It's kind of the same thing. You know, you're just counting down the minutes before Shabbos is over. It doesn't look right. So it's normally, we don't condone people standing at the edge of the Tchum waiting for Shabbos to finish. But if your intention is to protect your field, so then that would be mutter to do. Okay, and then the Mishnah says, "Klal Amar Abba Shaul, kol she'ani zakai ba'amiraso, rashai ani lahachshech lo." Abba Shaul develops the following rule, which the Gemara is going to kind of touch up this rule a little bit, as we'll see. But basically, Abba Shaul says that anything that I am allowed to, in other words, anything that I'm allowed to speak about on Shabbos, I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum. Now again, we'll see in the Gemara a lot more about this rule, but we know, of course, that there are certain things that you're not allowed to speak about on Shabbos. You can't talk about business. You can't talk about things that that involve money, things of that nature in general. So anything which is problematic to speak about on Shabbos, you're not allowed to stand at the edge of the tchum to wait for. So in other words, you're not allowed to go and ask someone, you know, can you do me a favor and come tonight after Shabbos and come, I don't know, come do some work for me. That's a problem on Shabbos. So therefore, waiting at the edge of the tchum to go and get those guys to work for you after Shabbos is also a problem. Whereas guarding your field is a permissible activity. You're allowed to talk about it on Shabbos. So if you want to wait by the edge of the tchum with the intention of guarding your field, that would be completely permissible. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, Maishna hu umaishna chaveiro. Remember, the opening line of the Mishnah said that not only can I not hire workers on Shabbos, I also can't tell someone else to hire workers on Shabbos. And the question is, well, what's the chiddush of that line? That's obvious. In other words, why would I think that it's okay for me to go tell someone else to hire workers? Meaning, presumably, if I'm telling another Jew to hire workers for me, so then how does that solve the problem? He's also not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, "You're right." Amar Rav Papa Chaver Nachri. Comes Rav Papa and says that we're talking about a non-Jew. In other words, you went to go and ask a non-Jew to hire workers for you on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean?" Maskeflo Rav Ashi Amira LaNachri Shavus. So comes Rav Ashi and says, "What happened to Amira LaAkum?" Right? Amira LaAkum is an Isser Durabanan, and you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you. So again, this is not malacha per se to hire a worker, but still you're telling him to do an avera for you, so that's a problem, right? So in other words, the Gemara says even if you're asking a non-Jew to hire workers for you to come and work after Shabbos, that should also be problematic. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elo Amar Rav Ashi, Afilu Tema Chavero Yisrael. You could even say that you're asking your Jewish friend to hire workers for you. So then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? HaKamash Malan, Lo Yomar Adam LaChavero Schor Li Poalim, Aval Omer Adam LaChavero Han So comes the Gemara with the following distinction. Again, according to the Tanakhama, there are no formulations that you're allowed to turn around to your friend, to your Jewish friend, and say, do me a favor and hire workers. That everyone agrees you're not allowed to do. However, there's another less explicit formulation that, at least according to some Tanaim, is permissible. So, for example, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, a person, instead of saying, do me a favor and hire workers for me after Shabbos, can say the following expression, can say, Hanirish Atamot Imila Erev, which is basically means, are you going to join me this evening? It's clear that your intention is to get this guy to come and work for you. That's obvious, but it is a less explicit formulation than saying, come and work for me. So according to the Tanakhama, that expression is just as problematic as an explicit expression. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, saying that doesn't solve anything. But according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, if you formulate it in a less explicit way, if instead of saying, come and work for me tonight, you say, come join me tonight or whatever, and then it's understood that the guy is coming to work for you. So the Gemara says that's mutter, at least according to Rabbi Yehoshua. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. In other words, this Mishnah is conforming with the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, that yes, you're not allowed to explicitly hire someone to work for you on Shabbos, but you are allowed to implicitly do so. In other words, if you make an expression that doesn't explicitly connote that you're trying to hire the guy, but it's understood that that's what you're trying to do, so at least according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, that would be permissible. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. That's in fact how we paskin. The Gemara says that as long as your declaration is not explicit, it is permissible to make such a formulation on Shabbos and say, join me tonight by the edge of the tchum, and then obviously it's understood that you're going to have the guy come and do malacha for you. So the question, of course, is why should this be so? Why does he allow this? Why does he allow a person to implicitly formulate such a statement? So says the Gemara, the famous pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu, Mimtzo chevtzecha v'daber davar, dibur asur hir her mutter. This is the Gemara we had earlier in Masechet Shabbos also, where the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu that discusses the way in which a person must comport themselves on Shabbos. So the pasuk, for example, says, Mimtzo chevtzecha v'daber davar. The way in which we act on Shabbos has to be different than we do the rest of the week. So one of the things the pasuk specifies is v'daber davar, that the way in which we speak on Shabbos has to be different than the way in which we speak the rest of the week. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, Dibur asur hir hur mutter, meaning to make an explicit declaration where I say, I'm hiring you to do malacha for me on, you know, after Shabbos, that's problematic. That's a violation of Dibur Asur. That's a violation of a Dabir Davar. However, let's say I make a declaration that doesn't explicitly imply I'm trying to hire a worker, but it is kind of, you know, in between the lines. It's kind of understood. So that's what the Gemara refers to as hirhur. In other words, usually the term hirhur just means like a thought process. But here, the way the Gemara is using the word hirhur, it basically means like what your intention is when you're making this declaration. So even though, in other words, if I say the expression, you know, are you going to be joining me tonight? So, you know, if I say that in a vacuum, no one is going to automatically think, oh, he must be hiring him to come work for him. So the Gemara says, because it's not an explicit declaration, therefore it's not a violation of Adabir Davar. And that's the logic behind the position of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. So what do you see from this Gemara? Says the Gemara, Alma, hirhur lav kedibur dami. So you see from this Gemara clearly that hirhur, or that intention, or what my thought process is not the same as actual speech. Again, this is a whole discussion in the third parak of Maseches Brachos. We saw this, way back in Brachos, about whether we say hear her kedibur or hear her lav kedibur. So the question, however, the Gemara says, v'ha'amar rabba bar bar chanam Rabbi Yochanan, v'chol makom mutter laharher, chutz mi beis hamer, chutz mi beis hakiseh. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. How can our Gemara suggest that hear her lav kedibur, that I'm allowed to make this formulation of hanira shetamod imi la'arv, are you going to be joining me tonight? Because the implication of the expression is not explicit, implying that hirhur and dibur are two distinct things. The problem with saying that, says Rabba Bar Bar Chana, is that we have another halacha. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that a person is permitted to think about Torah anywhere except for a bathhouse and a bathroom. But the question is, if you're telling me that hirhur lav kedibur, that thought process is not the same as speech, so then why can't I think about Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse? What's the issue? If you're telling me hirhur lav kedibur, it's not like I'm talking Torah, I'm just thinking about it. It should be permissible to think about Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. The Gemara says, shiny hasam, deba'inan v'hoya machanecha kadosh v'leika. The Gemara says, no, because there's a special halacha, the pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze tells us, V'hoya machanecha kadosh, right? The Torah says that our camps have to be holy. In other words, we have to act with a certain level of kedusha. So this is not a question of whether hear her kedibur or hear her lav kedibur. We can still assume lahalacha that hear her is lav kedibur dame, but there's almost like a tangential reason why you're not allowed to think about Torah in a bathhouse or a bathroom, because it would be a violation of the pasuk of V'hoya machanecha kadosh. It's not a holy or appropriate way for a person to act inside of a bathroom or a bathhouse. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. Hachanami ksivalo yer evicha ervas davar. Okay, but the Gemara says, we have another pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze that says, velo yer evicha ervas davar. In fact, at the end of that same pasuk, the pasuk says that you're not allowed to have any sort of erva exposed, and the pasuk uses the word davar, velo yer evicha ervas davar. So you see, seemingly, that the issue of erva as associated with Torah, with Torah, would only seem to be a problem bishas dibur, when you're talking about Torah, implying that if I'm merely thinking about Torah, if I'm simply being maharher in divrei Torah, that should be permissible, even b'makom erva, even in a bathroom, even in a bathhouse, which would seem to be against the drasha that we just quoted a second ago. How does the Gemara square this pasuk with the fact that you're not allowed to think about Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse? So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a good proof. The Gemara says, Ahumi boy le lechid Rav Yehuda, da amar Rav Yehuda, akum arum asr likros kriya shma kenegdo. So comes the Gemara and says, no, this pasuk, this latter half of the pasuk in Parashas Kiseitze that says, velo yer evacha ervaz davar, the word davar is not teaching me that, oh, it's only usher if I talk about Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse, but thinking is okay. Rav Yehuda says this pasuk is being used for a completely different halacha, namely to teach me that if a person is standing in front of a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is they're either literally naked or parts of their body are exposed that are meant to be covered, you're not allowed to recite Shema in front of a non-Jew who is either completely naked or who's not properly covered. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: My iria akum afilu Yisrael nami. What do you mean that I can't say Shema in front of a non-Jew who is not dressed appropriately, who's naked? That halacha is true by a Jew as well, right? That halacha applies to anyone. You're not allowed to say Shema. Again, this is the whole discussion we have back in Maseches Brachos. You're not allowed to say Shema, or any Dvarim Shebekdusha for that matter, in front of any sort of erva. So why does the Gemara say, oh, it's only usher in front of a non-Jew? It's usher in front of anyone who's not dressed appropriately. So the Gemara says, no. Lo mi boya kamar. Lo mi boya Yisrael de usher. Aval akum kevon dechsiv be'asher b'sar chamorim b'saram. E mashapir dame kamashmo. The Gemara has a very strange hava amina. The Gemara says, I might have thought that it's only problematic to recite recite Shema in front of the erva of a Jew, bedavka, and not the erva of a non-Jew. Why? Because there's a very famous pasuk from Yecheskel. Many of the Rishonim quote this pasuk in other contexts also, where the pasuk compares the Mitzriim to donkeys and to horses and whatever. So I might have thought that just as there's obviously no restriction about saying Shema in front of the erva of an animal, so maybe for these purposes we compare non-Jews to animals, and therefore it's permissible to recite Shema in front of their erva. The Gemara says, no, we see Kamash Malon, we see otherwise. You see from this pasuk, v'lo yirev v'chay ervas bavar, that even the erva of a non-Jew is going to be problematic to recite Shema in front of. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second, ema hachinami, maybe that should actually be the halacha, meaning maybe it should be permissible to say Shema in front of the erva of a non-Jew. Why, in fact, is it aser? So the Gemara says, no, because Amar Kra, the ervas avihem lo ro, the pasuk in Parshas Noach that talks about how Shaman and Yefes covered Noach after he was lying naked, after he got drunk, the pasuk describes Noach as erva. The ervas avihem, Noach was not a Jew, right? There were no Jews until the days of Avraham. So he says, since the pasuk describes Noach, the ervas avihem lo ro, you see that the concept of erva does, in fact, apply to non-Jews as well. Okay. So the Gemara now wants to know, v'dibur mi'asir? The Gemara, again, this is kind of circling back to our general discussion here about the way in which we're meant to speak on Shabbos. The Gemara says, is it really usher to talk or to not talk about certain things on Shabbos? V'ha rav chistav rav hamnuna da'amri travayu, cheshbonos shel mitzvah mutter l'chashim b'shabbos. So first of all, the Gemara says that not all types of math calculations or business endeavors are forbidden to speak about on Shabbos. So for example, if you have cheshbonos shel mitzvah, you want to talk about, you know, the money that you're giving for tzedakah. You want to talk about some kind of organization that's helping out, you know, whatever, aniyim, whatever it is. So that's mutter to do on Shabbos. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, poskim tzedakah la'aniyim b'Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar takes us a step further. He says, not only can you talk about, you know, all your calculations that are mitzvah-oriented, but you can actually decide verbally to allocate money for a mitzvah on Shabbos itself. So if you say, you know what, I'm gonna give X amount of money to this tzedakah organization on Shabbos, that's mutter lechadchila to do. V'amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mefakchin pikuach nefesh ufikuach rabin b'Shabbos, v'holchen lebatei kinesios lefakech al iske rabin b'Shabbos. Comes the Gemara, takes us even a step further. The Gemara says that a person is permitted to engage in things that are pikuach nefesh oriented. Now, obviously, actual pikuach nefesh, we know, of course, is always docha Shabbos, but here, we're talking about, you know, a person engaging in activities that are necessary for people's health, or even things more broadly that are necessary for what the Gemara calls al iske rabin, things that are just necessary for the public. In other words, if let's say, you know, there are certain things that need fixing. Let's say, for example, they're trying to, I don't know, build a highway, or they're trying to fix the potholes in the road. Those are iske rabim. Those are things that are necessary for the public. So you could talk about those things on Shabbos. So if you wanted to have, you know, in theory, if you wanted to have some kind of like a, I don't know, some kind of like a town committee meeting on Shabbos to talk about, you know, how much it's going to cost to fix all the potholes in town, technically that would be permissible also. And the Gemara says you can also go to, you can go to shuls on Shabbos in order to figure out, you know, I don't know, how much do we need to spend on sidurim, on chumashim, on things that are necessary for the tzibur. Those are all permissible to speak about on Shabbos as well. The Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, holchin latar ti'ios ulekarkasos ulevasil kaos lefakeach al iskei rabim b'Shabbos. According to Rav Shmuel, you're also allowed to go to the theaters and the circuses and all these different gathering places where the Romans used to go for their, I don't know, for their gladiator fights and their forms of entertainment and things like that you could also go there. So apparently they used to gather there for the purposes of, you know, having, you know, large town hall meetings, again, where they would decide on needs for the public. So even though those are not necessarily going to be, Jewish meetings, but again, if it's for the larger benefit of the tzibur, if they're talking about, you know, communal needs and fixing, I don't know, pipes and streets, etc., that would be permissible on Shabbos as well. V'sana devei menashe, mishadchen al hatinokos le'areis b'Shabbos. We actually allude to this halacha in one of the zmiros that we say on Shabbos, where the Gemara says that you're allowed to be mishadchen hatinokos, because you could talk about setting up people, you know, about making shidduchim. You could talk about that on Shabbos. You could talk about teaching your children a craft, teaching them a profession, teaching them knowledge. Again, all of these things are permissible, on Shabbos. So this is part of a very large question. The Gemara's initial question was: is it really usher to speak about, you know, all these different, you know, you know, calculation of the Shabbos, the Gemara just proved that there are seven different exceptions to this rule. You could talk about mitzvahs, you could talk about, you know, iske rabin, pikuach nefesh, meshadchen tinokos. There are all these examples that seem to be mutter. So what's the obvious answer to this question? The Gemara says, no, amar kra, mimtso chetzecha v'daber davar, chafatzecha asurim chetze shemayim mutarim. The Gemara says, yeah, these are all mutter because these are what we call chetze shemayim. And chetze shemayim means these are all mitzvah-oriented things, you know, making shidduchim and giving people a parnasa and, you know, pikuach nefesh and iske rabim. All these things are mitzvah-oriented, so that's why it's mutter. But stam to talk about your own personal business on Shabbos or whatever it is, that would in fact be problematic. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Cheshbonos shel ma lach v'shel ma bekach mutter lechashbon b'Shabbos. Tanya nami hachi cheshbonos she'avru v'sha'asidin lihios aser lechashbon shel ma lach v'shel ma bekach mutter lechoshen. The Gemara has a very, very interesting distinction here. The Gemara says that a person is not permitted to calculate those things on Shabbos that are she'avru v'sha'asidin lihios. She'avru means past calculation. So let's say a person just finished some kind of a large business project. So you can't on Shabbos sit around and start talking about how much you how much you spent on your project. You're also not allowed to talk about future projections. You can't say, oh, I'm starting a project, you know, in a few weeks, and here's what I plan to spend. You can't do that either. However, the Gemara says what you are allowed to do on Shabbos is talk about cheshbonos shel malach v'shel ma bekach. What exactly does that mean? So malach and ma bekach, the way the Rashi explains it, are basically things that are completely meaningless or completely pointless. Things that, you know, calculations that have absolutely no bearing on anything. Things that are, you know, whatever, I don't know. You want to talk about, the financial state of some other country that has no bearing on you. So in theory, that would be permissible on Shabbos also. Or the Gemara says something which, again, which has already passed you by. That's what Rashi refers to as ma bekach. Ma bekach means that all your calculations are done already. You finished this project 3 years ago, so everything's already been settled. You have nothing left to do anymore. So the Gemara says that would technically be permissible. Yeah.
So what exactly can't you talk about?
What can't you talk about? You can't. So okay. So we'll see in a second. The Gemara is gonna clarify this right now.
I mean, that should be the exception.
Well, again, I think because the point is that we don't want you to talk about things that are things that actually have a purpose in business. So this has no purpose. So then meaning it's time you're just shooting the breeze almost like. That's all. That's fine. Yeah. So the Gemara wants to know now. Reminu choshen cheshbonos she'ein on tzrichen ve'ein mechashen cheshbonos she'tzrichen b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Hang on one second." The Gemara says that you're only allowed to calculate basically pointless cheshbonos, things that are really not necessary, but not significant cheshbonos that you need to calculate. So what does that mean? Ketzad Omer Adon Lachavero Kach v'kach Poalim Hotzesi Al Sadazo Kach v'kach Dinarin Hotzesi Al Dirazo Avalo Yomer Lo Kach v'kach Hotzesi V'kach v'kach Ani Osed Lahotzi. The Gemara says, "I'm allowed." To say, for example, I hired X number of workers or I paid them X amount of money to go work on my house, on my field, whatever. But to say, I'm going to spend X amount of money or I'm going to hire X number of workers, that's a problem. So the Gemara says, you see that it's not always the case that these types of cheshbonos are permissible. So the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, "Velitamich kashu lachi gufa." The Gemara says, "Hang on one second. What about the very case itself?" The Gemara says, the two cases that we just presented seemingly are self-contradictory because on the one hand we said any types of cheshbonos that are in the past, that's a done deal already. That's what the Gemara referred to as cheshbonos shel malach, things that are done already. So those are mutter. But the Gemara also said on the bottom of the previous amud that cheshbonos she'avru, that things that have already passed you by are usher. So that itself is a contradiction. So in other words, are past cheshbonos mutter to calculate on Shabbos or usher? So the Gemara says it depends. The Gemara says, Ella ha de ika agra de agira gabe, ha de leika agra de agira gabe. It basically depends on whether you have any outstanding debts from that project. So let's say I finished a project 3 weeks ago, but I still owe someone money from the project. Then it would be usher to talk about that on Shabbos because I'm still invested in the project. But if let's say everything's been paid up already and everyone's squared away and everyone's been paid for their work, so at that point it's completely pointless to talk about. So then it becomes mutter to speak on Shabbos because there's no financial gain or there's no business angle anymore when it comes to talking about those kinds of things. Okay, so then the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah said, "Ein machshichin." Remember, we said in the Mishnah that a person is not permitted to wait by the edge of the tchum, waiting for Shabbos to end, and then run out the second Shabbos is over to go get his workers or to get his fruit or whatever the case is. So says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, "Ma'isa bechased echad shenifrta lo peretz besoch sadehu." There was some guy who, some very pious individual, where there was a breach that developed on the fence around his field. V'nimlach aleha legodra. So he was planning to fix the breach in the fence. V'nizkar sheShabbosu, but he realized as he was about to start fixing the breach, that it was Shabbos. The nimna usachased v'lo gadra, so he therefore obviously refrained from doing so. The nasa lo nes, and a miracle happened. The also about slaf, and then a caper bush grew out of nowhere. Umimena haisa parnasaso farnasa sanche beso, and then for him and his family were supported and sustained from that caper bush for a very long time. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mutter la'adam lomar la'chaveiro, le'krach ploni ani holich le'machar, she'em yesh burganin holich. The Gemara has the following halacha. Let's say, Reuven tells Shimon, on Shabbos, he says, tomorrow, on Sunday, I'm going to go travel, whatever, I'm traveling somewhere. So the Gemara says he's permitted to make such a declaration because, in theory, even though right now, the way that the cities are set up, it's a problem, let's say, for Reuven to travel to this other city, because let's say the other city is beyond the tchum of this city, but there is a way to rectify that. That's what we call, by setting up what are called burganin. Burganin is a whole sugin meseches Erevin. Burganin are these little huts, these little like guard booths basically, where the Gemara says that as long as you have one of these little huts that are spaced at least every 70 and two-thirds amos from the previous one, that's considered like a house. In other words, for the purposes of tchum Shabbos, the halacha is that once you have an empty area beyond the 2,000 amos of the city, and there's no one living, there's no houses there at all for the next 2,000 amos, at that point already, it's considered like a new Tchum Shabbos, and you would not be allowed to walk there. However, the Gemara in Erevin says that as long as you have even these little guard booths are enough to qualify as houses. So the Gemara says, even though the way it stands right now, these two cities do not have any guard booths, do not have any permissible way to walk from city A to city B on Shabbos, but you are permitted to talk about it. So in other words, I'm allowed to say on Shabbos that I'm planning to walk to a different city, even though right now the way it stands, there is no permissible way for me to walk there on Shabbos. But because in theory, if I put up a guard booth somewhere, I would be allowed to do that. There is a, in other words, there is a way to rectify this issue. Therefore, I'm allowed to speak about what I'm going to do after Shabbos on Shabbos itself. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. So the Gemara now says, Tanan, Ein machshichin al atchum liskor po'al limulahavi perus. We saw in the Mishnah that a person, again, is not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum on Shabbos if his intention is to run outside after Shabbos to either hire workers or to go bring back some fruit from his orchard. So the Gemara says, Bishlam aliskor poelim divishabbos lo matzeyagar. I understand why you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum on, right before Shabbos ends to go hire workers, because you're not allowed to hire those workers on Shabbos itself. So as we already saw earlier, anything that you can't do on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum, in anticipation of Shabbos ending to go and run and do that activity. But elo lahavi peros lema shim yesha mechitzos mevi. The Gemara says, but hang on one second. Why am I not allowed to wait by the edge of my tchum to go and bring back fruit from the orchard? Didn't we just say in the Gemara a second ago that, I'm allowed to say, I want to travel from city A to city B, and even though right now I'm not allowed to do it, but in theory, if some guy built a bunch of guard booths, it would be permissible. So why not say, so right now I'm not allowed to take the fruit, but if some guy built a mechitza, he built a partition around the field, then it would become permissible. So in other words, why should that case be any different than the guy who talks about, the guy who talks about going from one city to another on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, you're right, Meshkachas lebefiras hamechubarim. The Gemara says, you're right, we must be talking about fruit that are still attached to the ground. Fruit that are attached to the ground, that's going to be a problem mi d'oraisa. If I pluck fruit off a tree on Shabbos, that's a violation of kocha, that's a malacha d'oraisa. So that must be the case that we're talking about. If the fruit are already scattered on the ground, and I then, what was that?
That's got nothing to do with machshichin. Even if that's what
we
cannot do that.
No. Correct. But again, the Gemara is saying that, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum in order to go and take my fruit that are already laying on the ground. That's what the Gemara's point is, right? In other words, if my intention was...
By sudden issue of shichin.
What was that? Right. In other words, again, taking fruit. No. But again, the second Shabbos is over. There's not going to be an issue with plucking fruit off of the tree. The problem is that right now I'm waiting by the edge of the tchum to go and do something. So in theory, taking fruit that's already on the ground is just as problematic when there's no mechitza around, because I'm not allowed to carry that fruit when it's outside of the tchum. It's just as problematic. But the Gemara is saying, you're right, that is a rectifiable problem, because since in theory you could have built a mechitza, so in fact you are allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum to go and get your fruit that's already laying on the ground, on the floor, on the field. That's okay, but because again, that's only a problem midurabanan, right? The issue of tchum is only a problem midurabanan. Whereas when it comes to waiting by the edge of the tchum to go and eventually do an actual malacha d'oraiso in Shabbos, or like plucking fruit off the tree, that would in fact be problematic. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's exactly the point, right? In other words, the Gemara is saying that the only time achshichin is going to be mutter is when the stakes are only midurabanan. If the only thing that I can violate theoretically is violating tchum, okay, so I have a way to rectify that. What's the rectification is build a mechitza. So even though there is no mechitza here, but at least we've overcome the problem of machshich, and you can still wait by the edge of the tchum. Whereas if I'm waiting by the edge of the tchum to go and pluck an apple off a tree, which is an iser de oraisa on Shabbos, then I'm not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum for Shabbos to end to do that. Midrabanan. That's the distinction.
Let me ask something. Let's say somebody has to catch a plane right like an hour after Shabbos.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go to shul, you know, not mincha, not, Motzei Shabbos, and he's really sitting with his luggage just for the minute Shabbos ends. Is that an issue of machshivim?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's the greatest thing in the world to do, and I wouldn't recommend booking a flight for an hour after Shabbos for a lot of reasons, but ultimately, machshichin is a very technical thing where you're sitting by the edge of the tchum. Right? Most people, if you live in most communities today, you're not near the edge of a tchum, right? Because you live in the middle of a community, so you're nowhere near a tchum Shabbos. So technically, it's not called machshichin. Again, you're right. I would not recommend doing something like that because you could.
Is machshichin really a zilzul of Shabbos?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, imagine a guy staring at his watch, waiting for. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that you're describing. A guy literally counting down the seconds. Shabbos ends. I mean, I think that's a pretty big zilzal, you know. So the Gemara now wants to know v'hasani Rav Oshia ein machshichin al hatchum lahavi tevin v'kash. So comes Rav Oshia and says that a person is not permitted to wait by the edge of the tchum in order to bring either straw or hay. So the Gemara says bishlam akash mishkachas lo b'mechuber. So I understand the example of straw, because straw is something which could still be attached to the ground. So that's what the Mishnah means when it says, don't wait by the edge of the tchum, because as we just said a second ago, the isser of machshichin is only when there's a theoretical, you know, violation of an isser d'oraisa going on. But ela teven hechi mishkachas la b'siv nesaria. The Gemara says, but what's the case when it comes to hay, because hay is not attached to the ground? The Gemara says it must be that we're talking about what's called tiv nesaria. Tiv nesaria means that the hay is already has already gone bad. It's already, so a hay that's gone moldy or whatever it is, that hay is mukta. So anyway, you're not allowed to carry that on Shabbos, and therefore you would not be allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum Shabbos to go get your hay, because at that point, once the hay has already turned rotten, it's also going to be considered mukta. Okay. The Gemara says, Tashma, machshichin al hatchum lefakeach al iske kala v'al iske hameis. Al iske kala v'meis in al iske acher lo. The Gemara says the only times that I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum before Shabbos ends is if I have some kind of an imminent need to go take care of something, either for a kala or for a mace, right? Let's say I need to go get something for a funeral or for a wedding or whatever it is. So then it's permissible for me to wait by the edge of the tchum. The implication, of course, is that for any other purpose aside from those two things, it would be problematic. So the Gemara explains bishlama acher dumya dekala mishkachas lo lemigza leasa. So I understand what the Gemara is trying to exclude from the case of Kala, because I might have thought that it's permissible for me to wait by the edge of the Tchum. Let's say there's a wedding happening, an hour after Shabbos. So I want to wait by the edge of the Tchum to go out right when Shabbos is over and cut down some myrtle branches. Why am I waiting to do that? So the Gemara in Maseches Ksuba says that you know there was a minhag that people used to use myrtle branches at weddings for Simcha, whatever it was. So I want to go and run and cut down some myrtle branches for this wedding. So that's obviously
obviously going to be a problem of machshichin, because cutting down a myrtle branch is an iser d'oraisa on Shabbos, because it's kotzer. You're basically cutting something which is attached to a tree. So that would be a problem mid'oraisa. But ela mace ma'inihu, what's the parallel when it comes to a funeral? In other words, what activity would I theoretically be doing that might have been mid'oraisa that we're now saying, oh, it's mutter because you're doing it for a mace? The Gemara says, lahavi lo arun v'sachrichin. It must be that the guy is waiting by the edge of the tchum, waiting for Shabbos to end, so we can run and go get the shrouds, go get a coffin, go get the things that are necessary for this funeral. So the Gemara says, v'katani mace in aval acher lo. The Gemara was very clear that the only time that you're allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum to go do these activities is dafka for the kala and for the mace. So I'm allowed to run out to go, you know, to go chop down the myrtle branches for the kala. I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum to go and get a coffin and shrouds for a mace. But it sounds like anything else is problematic. The question, of course, is v'yamai lema she'im yesha mechitzos maybe. What happened to that svara, to that logic we quoted earlier, which said that, well, in theory, I could build a mechitza here, and therefore it should be mutter? Meaning, the Gemara is asking, why is dafka, why is it only in the case of the mace and the kala that we say, oh, and now all of a sudden it's permissible for you to wait by the edge of the tchum because there's some kind of a great tzorech, some kind of a mitzvah that's going on here? Didn't we say in the Gemara beforehand that even if I'm not going to do a mitzvah, even if my intention is just to pick up some fruit that are scattered on the floor of my garden, in my orchard, it should also be permissible for me to wait by the edge of the tchum? Why? Because in theory, I could build a mechitza. In other words, the Gemara is saying like this. The Gemara is saying that when it comes to actually cutting something off of a tree, which would otherwise be mid'oraisa on Shabbos, so for that, you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum unless it's for some kind of a mitzvah, like for a kala or for a mace. But when it comes to, let's say, fruit that are already scattered on the floor, so we said that since in theory you could build a mechitza, it should therefore also be permissible to wait by the edge of the tchum. So how come the Gemara is implying that it's only permissible to wait by the edge of the tchum, dafka for a mace or for a kala? So the Gemara says, you're right, mishkachasla lemigzale glima. The Gemara says it must be that the case here is, again, it's the case of the mace, where I'm not just going to pick up some shrouds that someone already prepared, you know, from last week, but I actually have to go and make the shrouds myself, right? In other words, making shrouds on Shabbos and weaving and sewing and cutting, that those are all isuri d'oraisa. So that's the chiddush of the Gemara. So in other words, the Gemara was never commenting on, let's say, the example of the fruit that are scattered on the floor, because they had teirim to wait by the edge of the tchum for the mace and the kala, are talking about things that would have otherwise been malacha on Shabbos, like cutting down a myrtle branch, or like cutting down or sewing or weaving the shrouds for the mace. That's the chiddush in the Mishnah, that I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum to go do those things because it's a tzorech hamace or the tzorech hakala. But the implication is that if I'm talking about fruit that's just sitting on the floor, where there is no malacha involved, all we're talking about here is an isser d'rabbanan of tchum, so then of course it's going to be mutter for me to wait by the edge of the tchum for that. That was never part of the discussion, right? The whole discussion here was, in normal cases, I can't wait by the edge of the tchum to go and do a malacha, unless it's the tzorech hamesh or the tzorech hakala. That's the example, that's the exclusion that the Braisa was referring to.
I understand the tzorech hamesh is covered on me.
Yeah.
But the kala, why? The kala, they can wait.
Maybe not. Maybe the wedding is an hour after Shabbos, and they can't wait, and they need to go get. It's.
No. But the kala is something that you plan. Emet is something that you know.
Okay, listen. I don't know. It's a kasha and a mice. In the times of the Rishonim, you know, people have to get married. You know, on a very, you know, in secret. Sometimes, you know, they have to get. I don't know. I don't know why they're getting married an hour after Shabbos, but let me say they are. So, you know, whatever, I don't know. Okay, fine. So then the Mishnah said, Avo Machsh. Yeah. What was that? Yeah, oh, okay. Not going down that road. Okay, so the Mishnah said, Avo Machshiche. So the Gemara asks, V'alfa gavdilo avdil? The Gemara says, hang on 1 second. How are we talking about this whole issue about, am I allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum? Am I not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum? The Gemara says, what happened to Havdalah? How are you, again, this is kind of like Yaakov's question from before, like, how are you even standing here in the first place? Don't you have to go to shul, daven marav, make havdalah? Like, how are you even here in the first place? So the Gemara says, no, v'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonos, mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, asr lo la'adam sheyaseh chafatzav kodem sheyavdil. You're not allowed to do anything on Motzai Shabbos until you make havdalah. So, like, how are you even here in the first place? The Gemara says, v'chi tema da'avdil b'tfila. You'll tell me, no, I said atachon antanu, right? I said havdalah during davening, so I'm fine. The Gemara says, not true. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda mer Shmuel, ha'mavdil b'tfila tzarach sheyavdil ala kos. Just just because you said Atachon Antanu, you still have to do regular Havdalah too. So it's not good enough to say Atachon Antanu. So again, what are you doing here by the edge of the Tchum? So the Gemara says, V'chi tema da'avdalah kos, kos besadami ika. The Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me, yeah, the guy made Havdalah on a kos. Really? The guy's in the middle of the field. Where did he get a kos from? Where did he get, you know, wine from? So the Gemara says, no, Tir Gemara Rabbi Nasan Barami coming to Rava, Benagito Shanu. The guy happens to be hanging out by a wine press. So he happens to have access to wine and there are cups lying around. So yeah, the guy made Havdalah. But the implication, of course, is that if you're in a regular field and there's no wine presses around, then in fact you are not really supposed to be there at all. So this whole Mishnah, all these halachas we've been talking about for the last daf, about waiting by the edge of the tum, are assuming that you already made Havdalah ala kos, which again is a very, very big okimta in the Mishnah, because that's not what it sounded like at all from the Mishnah, right? So the Gemara says, oh, the one case is where the guy happens to be next to a wine press. That's the one case where he's allowed to wait by the edge of the tum. And the Gemara points out, Amar le Rabbi Abba le Ravashi b'marava amrinan hachi, hamavdil bin kodesh l'chol v'avdilan tzorken. You know, everyone knows this halacha, right? Everyone knows that when Shabbos is over, so if let's say the wife and kids are at home and the husband's still in shul, everyone knows that you just say hamavdil bin kodesh l'chol and then you can go do whatever you want. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they used to do. They used to say hamavdil bin kodesh l'chol and then they would go and do malacha. Amar Ravashi ki havina be'rav kahana hava amar hamavdil bin kodesh l'chol b'satinan tzilte. That's what they used to do in Rav Kahana's house. He used to tell everyone, say Hamavil min Kodesh L'chol, and then they used to start chopping wood for a fire. So again, you see that once Shabbos is over, and you said, again, if you go to shul and you say Atachon Antanu, you don't need to say Hamavil min Kodesh L'chol, because you basically said that already in Atachon Antanu. And again, you obviously still have to make Havdalah ala kos anyway, but this is just to allow you to go and do malacha. Okay.
You have a couple of days to say Havdalah,
but again, this isn't in terms of talking about, you know, allowing you to do malacha, right? So for that purpose, you can just say Hamavdil, and that's good enough.
You have to consciously break it. Yeah.
Correct, exactly. Okay, so fine. So then the Mishnah concluded and said, Klal Amar Abba Shol Kol Shani. Abba Shol developed this rule where he basically said that anything about which you're allowed to speak on Shabbos, you're allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum. So in other words, you know, I'm allowed to talk about, going to guard my orchard, so therefore I'm allowed to stand by the edge of the Tchum waiting to guard my orchard, even on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to know the following. Abba Shol Aheya, which clause in the Mishnah was Abba Shol referring to? Again, remember, the first half of the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum if your intention is to go hire workers or to go gather fruit, and the last clause of the Mishnah said that you are allowed to do so if your intention is simply to guard the field. So the Gemara says, Ilema Aresha Kai Ein Machshichen Ala Tchum Liskor Poalim Lahavi Peros. If Abba Shol was commenting on the first half of the Mishnah, which again said that you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum if your goal is to hire workers or to get fruit, and then presumably Abba Shol would be saying, well, if I'm allowed to talk about it, then I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, so then the phraseology is off. Hi, Kol Shani Zakai Ba'amiraso Rashani Bachashichaso, Kol She'ini Zakai Ba'amiraso Eni Rashai Bachashichaso Miboile. The Gemara says that the Abba Shol should have formulated his rule in the negative, because if he's referring back to the Reisha, the first clause in the Mishnah, the first clause we're talking about things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You're not allowed to wait by the Tchum to hire workers or to get fruit. Why would Abba Shol say that anything that you're allowed to talk about, you're allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum for? He should have said the opposite. He should have said anything that you're not allowed to talk about, because those are the cases in the Reisha. The Reisha was talking about things that you're not allowed to do, in other words, hiring workers or going to collect fruit. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Ela Seifakai Aval Machshichu Lishmor Umevi Perus Biado. If you're going to argue that Abba Shol is referring to the Seifa, to the latter half, which said that, oh, I am allowed to wait there if my intention is to guard my field and then I can just bring the fruit back afterwards, so that's also a problem, you know, grammatically, because Hai Kol Shani Zakai Bachashichaso Rashayani Bamiraso Miboy. I'm sorry, the Gemara says, Kol Shani Zakai Bachashichaso Rashayani Bamiraso Miboy. The Gemara is asking that the phrase in the Mishnah should have been flipped. It should have been backwards. In other words, instead of the Mishnah saying that, you know, anything that I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum for, the Mishnah should say the opposite. Anything for which I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum, I'm allowed to speak about, because that was the context of the Seifa. The Seifa wasn't talking about things that you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos. It was talking about cases where you're allowed to wait by the edge of the Tchum before Shabbos is over. So why would Abba Shol formulate it in the opposite and say, anything that you could talk about, you can wait by the edge of the tum for. He should have said it the opposite fashion. He should have said anything that you could wait by the edge of the tum for, you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, because that's the focus of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Liola Masefa Kai. Really, Abba Shaul is referring to the latter half, to the halacha about allowing you to guard your field. The Abba Shaul HaKai. And Abba Shaul was referring to the following. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mutter La Adam Lomar Lachaveiro Shmorli Peros Shabbos Chumach. Vania Shmor Lacha Peros Shabbos Chumi. So according to the Tanakhama, a person is allowed to say to some other person, you know, to some other guy, you know, you do me a favor. You guard my fruit that's in your tchum, and I'll guard your fruit that's in my tchum. The Ka'amar Abba Shaul Sanakama Milo Modis the Mutter Adam Lomar Lachaveiro Shmorli Peros Shabbos Chumach Vania Shmor Lacha Peros Shabbos Chumi Ve'ema Kol Shani Zakei Ba'Ami Raso Rashai Ani Lahashik Alav. So now Abba Shaul was commenting on this line. He wasn't commenting on our Mishnah. He was commenting on this statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that a person is allowed to say to another person, "Do me a favor, guard my fruit that's in your tchum, and I'll guard your fruit that's in my tchum." That's an amira. That's a form of speech. So now Abba Shaul is commenting on that halacha, and it actually now makes perfect sense why he starts his klal by referring to what you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, and only then transitioning into the things that you're allowed to wait by the tchum for, because he's commenting on the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who is discussing those things that you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos. So the Gemara now wants to know, klal la asuye mai. So what exactly was Abba Shaul's klal coming to include? La asuye had the son of Rabbanan, ein machshichen al hatchum lahavi behema. So on the one hand, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum in order to, let's say, bring your animal in right after Shabbos. However, haisa omedes chutz latchum korei la vihiva. However, if let's say you're standing by the edge of the tchum and you call to your animal, you whistle to the animal, you make some kind of a gesture, and the animal comes by itself, that's okay, that's permissible to do. And on that, Abba Shaul says, "Klal Amar Abba Shaul Kol Shani Zakei Ba'Amiraso Rashai Ani Lahach Shechalav." So in other words, the Gemara says that's the context in which Abba Shaul said that anything that I'm allowed to say in this case, almost literally, this is not just like a speech. This is like I'm making some kind of a motion, some kind of a gesture where I'm calling to my animal. So if I'm allowed to do that, I'm allowed to wait by the edge of the tchum. So the Gemara is saying that Abba Shaul's rule is including this case, because otherwise I might have thought that I'm not allowed to make any sort of a noise or any sort of a gesture to my animal. I have to just wait there, you know, after Shabbos to go get the animal myself. So Abba Shaul says, no, it's not true. I'm allowed to stand by the edge of the tchum and I'm allowed to beckon and to call to my animal and have the animal come to me, and that's okay, and that's mutter to do. Okay, then the Gemara says, umachshichin lefakeach al iske kalav yal iske hames lahavi lo arum v'sa. So the Gemara says, let's say I'm trying to have someone go and get me the shrouds or the coffin for a funeral, or I'm trying to get them to go get me something for a wedding, whatever it is. So you could say, listen, do me a favor, go to this place after Shabbos and get me the stuff for the funeral or for the wedding. And if you can't find it there, then go to this other place. And then the Gemara says, Lo matzasa b'mana have b'masayim, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Huda omer v'vach lo yaskir l'schum mekach. And then this last point, the Gemara points out a machlo. The Gemara says that according to the Tanakhama, I can actually specify the amount of money that I want you to spend. So let's say I say, listen, do me a favor. I want you to spend 100, you know, a mana or, you know, 100 zuz finding me a coffin. And if you can't do it for 100, do it for 200. So that's okay according to the Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda, you're never allowed to specify a monetary value. You can say to the other guy, do me a favor and go to place X or place Y to find me something. And if you can't, you know, if you can't find it, go somewhere else. But to start specifying monetary amounts, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda, that's going to be problematic.